If you've ever done any outbound prospecting, you know that under normal circumstances, you have a lot of decision makers who just don't answer their phone. Now you add on top of that a pandemic, and guess what? People, and specifically decision makers, not as many of them are answering their phone. Now we're in the reopening phase, and a lot of them are busy, and guess what they're too busy to be doing? Answer their phone. And then just to make it interesting, here we are, and it's the summer selling season, and you have a lot of people out there who mentally check out. And when they mentally check out, guess what they're not doing? Answering their phone. So in this week's episode of the Sales Playbook Podcast, we're going to talk about how do you get somebody to answer their phone without being a tool. My name is Paul Castain from Castain Training Systems, and I'm the author of the YourSalesPlaybook.com blog and your host for the Sales Playbook Podcast. I've personally trained over 30,000 sales reps, sales leaders, and business owners to sell more. So get your playbooks ready because school is now in session. Okay, so today we're going to be talking about how we can get someone to answer the phone, especially right now between summer, the pandemic, and just decision makers being crazy busy and distracted to begin with. Before we do that, I have a really big favor to ask of you, and what's really cool about it is that I benefit and you benefit from this favor. And what happened was I had a big technical situation with the signups for my blog. I've been blogging since 2008. I've used this one service that Google puts out, and they just, with my feed, just decided one day to stop sending my blog out to everybody who has subscribed over the last 12 years. And I've been troubleshooting it here and there, and we've been trying to migrate the list over to another service, and it's just been really tedious, really, really slow, and as a result, a lot of people aren't getting my blog. So what I'd like to ask of you, if you could, if you find value, especially in this podcast, I'd like to ask you to subscribe to the blog. And even if you previously subscribed to the blog, if you could do it again, because this way what I've done is set up a special page where if you sign up, it's going to go automatically to this new service that I'm using. You can access the subscription page by going to yoursalesplaybook.com/subscribe. yoursalesplaybook.com/subscribe. I'm telling you, you will totally make my day if you do this. It's been about 2 weeks now, and it's just been really troubling me to see that a lot of people aren't getting the blog. So I'm hoping that you'll just take 2 seconds and sign up. But enough of that. That's a long time for me to be beating around the bush, especially if you've listened to me before and you know I despise these people that take 15 minutes into a podcast talking about what they're going to be talking about, dicking around and talking about what they did and all the little cute bantering and stuff like that. Not on my watch. So the question now is, how do we get someone to answer their phone without us having to resort to, sleazy tactics, and without you becoming a tool? And let's talk about something for a minute that a lot of hardcore cold callers never want to talk about. Less and less people are answering their phones. Now, that doesn't make cold calling ineffective. It just means that we've got another hurdle out there. And as I mentioned in the beginning, at the very little intro of this podcast, under normal circumstances, we have decision makers who are highly distracted and just don't answer their phone for whatever reason. They might not be distracted. They just might hate the effing phone. But then you add a pandemic into it, and people are busy just trying to survive another day. A lot of these companies are engaged in layoffs and having to do more with less and all that kind of stuff. Guess what they weren't doing during that time? A lot of them not answering the phone. Then you have the whole reopening phase. What are people focused on? Not answering the phone, but getting that business up and running again, being able to serve their customers, be able to survive another day. I know I said that, but, you know, it's kind of brutal out there. And then, just to make it interesting, right now, again, I don't know what part of the world you're in listening to this, but if you haven't picked up from this accent, I'm out in good old New York in the U.S. of A., and we're in the summer selling season right now. So you have a lot of people, and it's not that I'm not making fun of buyers and decision makers. Sales reps do it too. Sales trainers do it too. A lot of people mentally check out. Man, this goes back to when we were kids and it was summertime. What did we do? We had a blast. I almost said, what did I do when I was a kid? I went out and I partied. I can't imagine a 9-year-old version of myself going out there holding up a whiskey sour and a cigar saying, rock on. So I waited a little later for that kind of stuff. Like the partying came when I was in my teens. But you couldn't wait for the summer. And I think a lot of us do that. We mentally check out. So what does that mean? A lot less people answering their phone. And that kind of sucks when you're the sales rep trying to call in and help them. So what do we do here? So there is an email that I've been sending for, I'm trying to think, it must be, I think it's close to 8 years now, maybe it's 6 years. I've trained all of my coaching clients, numerous people who have attended my webinars. You might have attended one of my webinars and you're probably sitting there saying, I think I know what he's going to talk about. And well, before I get into the specifics of the email that I want you to send, that really does work like it's magic, there is some pre-work that you need to do. Feel free to say duh, but a lot of people don't do this. You really got to do your research and you got to do your homework. Now, you know, people have been telling us forever, you know, before you pick up that phone, you have to do your homework, you have to do your research. And two little immediate thoughts that I want to throw out there. People rarely tell us, you know, all these people dispensing advice out there, like me, dispensing advice, but not like me because I don't fail to do this. They tell us, well, if you're going to pick up a phone, man, do your homework, do some research. There's this thing called the interwebs. Use it. But they very rarely tell us to do that when it comes to sending an email and or really any other form of outreach other than the phone. And so, you know, just, you know, sales 101, a sales 101 moment here. Anytime you are engaging in prospect client outreach, you really should take some time to do a little bit of homework. But here's the other thing people don't tell you. They don't tell you what you're researching or what you're looking for. Now, some of this might just be intuitive for you, or you just know, or somebody taught you, whatever. But there's a lot of people, when I ask them, what is it specifically that you think you're looking for? And sometimes they'll just say real general, well, really anything I can leverage. But no, but what specifically? So let's just take a quick moment, even though I talked about this, I think it was in the last podcast. But let's talk about a little something called trigger events. A trigger event is something that's going on in your prospect or your client's world that would lead to a higher probability of them needing your product or service. So once again, a trigger event is something that's going on in your prospect or your client's world that would lead to a higher probability of them needing your product or service. So let's just use a really crazy example. I've used it before on this podcast, my rules. I get to repeat myself. How cool is that? But imagine if I owned a business other than this damn sales training shit. Like I had it. Like I always wanted to have a tow truck company and service cars and stuff. So I open up Castaing Service Center. Meanwhile, I don't know shit about cars. I don't know how to repair them, but I'm giving you an example here. Highly unlikely, but who knows what'll happen. Might happen tomorrow. And you know, one way for me to get business would to be just randomly calling people and just asking, hey, do you need a car repair? Hey, do you need a car repair? And I could say it nicer than that, but that's the gist. Hey, can I help you with your car? And, you know, just the law of averages and statistically speaking, sooner or later, probably later, I'll come across somebody who might say, you know what? I need a car repair. How'd you know? That's one way of doing it. Or imagine if I was driving around on the highway and I see you. There you are. Outside your car, flailing your arms, all kinds of pissed off. You know, you got that, my car broke down, and I'm not having any of this look. Flailing your arms, maybe cursing if you're out here in New York. You'd be cursing out here in New York anyway. Maybe there's some smoke coming out of the car, and hoods up and everything. And if I were to happen to cruise on by at that moment, and not keep cruising on by, because that'd be pretty shitty. And I pull over, and I said, hey, do you need a hand? You'd probably say, yeah, do you think? And so that would be a trigger event for me. The car being small, I almost said, the car being on fire, and you engulfed in flames and in pain, that would be a trigger event. That, too, could be a trigger event if I was a paramedic. But you guys get the point. So what I just witnessed there was a trigger event. The same thing happens in business. And let me just give you a few examples of some trigger events. When you have a new executive in a company, that's a trigger event. Company that's been through mergers, layoffs, relocation. Maybe they've opened up a new office. Maybe there's a change in strategy, restructuring, resizing. Earnings, both good and bad, by the way. A lot of the time we think that it's just the companies that are doing really, really well that need us. I'm here to tell, in fact, we've talked about it on the podcast. When do you think people are more likely to change? When things are good and they're comfy, or when they're in pain, right? We always talk about pain and sales. But moving right along, PR news releases, any kind of an announcement of an event. Now, you might be thinking, yeah, genius, Castain. We're in the middle of a pandemic. What freaking events are being announced? There are live streaming types of things and webinars and online things that are being, and all these damn screenshots of Zoom meetings, which I'm sick of, and I was sick of on the second week of this pandemic. And now people are putting it up there like, oh, look at me, I have Zoom. So, but those, like, there are events for those things too. Online reviews, turnover, product launches, venture capital funding, new customer announcements. This next one is huge, and if you're not driving, I'd like for you to circle this one. Things that are going on in the competitive landscape, especially right now. And let me just do some splaining, as my friend Ricky Ricardo would say. When we've had this whole crazy pandemic going on, or even, you know, let's just get away from the pandemic for a minute and then we'll bring it back to it. When there's any kind of a crisis or a world event, many times people just kind of just run for the hills, right? They get the hell out of Dodge. They go running into hiding and taking cover and stuff. And then sooner or later, people poke their head out and they want to see what's going on. Specifically, they want to see what's going on. Well, you know, how, like for me, for example, well, how are other sales trainers right now dealing with the pandemic? How are they doing? And you look to your peers. And even if you don't buy that and agree with that, then let's all agree that C-level decision makers, the C-level, are typically more competitive than the average employee of a company. Really think about that. To really hit the C-level, you have to have competitiveness in your DNA. So again, things going on with their competitors, they're going to want to know. They're going to, you know, they're definitely going to want to keep up with the proverbial Joneses. Product or service announcements? Changes in legislations or legislation? Awards, maybe entrance into new markets, changes in technology, things going on in your local area that are changes. That could be a big deal. Quick example, and this really is part of another trigger event. Out here in New York, what was about a week or two ago, we entered into phase three of the reopening. And it was kind of awesome because now we could start going back to restaurants. There were certain guidelines. They can only, I believe, operate, you know, 50% capacity with customers. There had to be the social distancing. But that was a trigger event on the local market. But also, there are some other things that really comprise trigger events. And one of them is, how about this pandemic? That's a huge thing. Even, you know, you have interest rates have dropped lower than they've been in a long time. That is a trigger event, and that could impact somebody wanting to buy various things. So those are some examples of trigger events. So, but really, just to give you just even a more broader canvas to paint on here, I want you to realize that what we're really looking for, and trigger events is certainly one part of it, we need a compelling reason for them to answer their phone. So we're trying to find something that would lead to a higher probability of them ultimately needing our product or service, but for now, at least wanting to hear us out. So that's what we're looking for here in the research. So once you've done that, you're going to send what I have affectionately referred to as a potato chip email. So what in the heck is a potato chip email? It is an email designed to make you hungry to take a phone call, to hear more, to create anticipation. And that's what's lacking for us right now. That, you know, there's just, in some cases, they're too busy, too distracted, whatever. Or maybe they see the caller ID and they say, that's that Castain guy again, right? And they might be doing it with you. They see ABC Industries on there and they're like, I don't need any stinking printing. I don't need any effing sales training or whatever. But we've got to give them a compelling reason to take that call. And that's where we're going to use the potato chip email. So the first thing you're going to do when you send this email, the very first sentence of an email is probably just as important. In some cases, you could argue maybe even more important than the subject line. Because what happens is you have something with emails known as the preview text. The preview text appears right in the inbox without ever opening the email. It appears right under the sender's name. And the preview text, sometimes also referred to as pre-header text or whatever, pre-header, you'll see just like a little bit so you can get the gist of what that email is all about. And in many cases, these emails aren't opened because most of us in sales have made a critical mistake. And I would argue that many of you guys are still making this mistake. And notice I said us, not to be cute, not to be inclusive, because yeah, you're a sales trainer, man. Be inclusive. That's in sales training 101. It was like day one of the sales coaches course and the sales trainers courses out there. You got to include people and say us like we're in it together. But no, I say it because I made the same mistake. I'm not being cute here. I really made the same mistake. And the mistake is this. Most of our sales messaging leads with something about us instead of something about the recipient. Now, if you really think about it, sales and psychology 101, what is their favorite subject? Is it you? Is it your widget? Is it your company? Or is it them and their world? So what we're going to do here is do a little reversal. And we're going to lead with their favorite subject, which is going to be them and their world. So there's a cool phrase that you can use, and it doesn't always apply, but it's something that I've taught for a while. And goes something like, and it's a fill-in-the-blank phrase. So you will greet them the way that you do, whether it be Dear Nancy, or Yo Nancy, or Hey Nancy, or Nancy Kins, or whatever way you want to open up that email. Then what you're going to do is do the fill-in-the-blank, the little handy-dandy fill-in-the-blank phrase. And it goes something like this. I noticed that. So it could be, hi, Nancy. I noticed that you have your new X1000 product launching in September. That was, say, the trigger event that you found. You could even play around with the phrase. And you could say something like, I've been noticing, or one of the things I've been noticing in the printing industry, or if you were targeting me, one of the things I've been noticing among sales trainers. So do you see what you're doing? Right away, you're getting a higher level of interest because you're leading with something about them. So you're going to have a higher probability of them, first of all, opening that email, then continuing to read the email. But now, we still haven't talked about how we get somebody to answer their phone and how the hell this really becomes a potato chip email. So what's going to happen now? In most emails, and again, Marketing 101, we were taught that there should be a call to action. And the call to action in an email typically is click here. There's another one in emails, and I'm not a fan of it. It's click here to view my schedule. I've never really been a fan of that. Not that I think it's an absolute knockout punch if you proceed that way. But I don't know. It's almost like they have to work around you, like you're something special or whatever. So I'm not a big fan of that. So again, it could be reply to this email with your availability. It could be any number of things. But those are your typical call to actions. I preach something different, and this is where the magic is going to start with the potato chip tactic here. We're going to use a reverse call to action. Now, remember, a typical traditional call to action would be click here, reply to this email, maybe asking a question at the end that warrants a response, that kind of thing. But with a reverse call to action, what you're going to do, instead of them having to do something, you're going to tell them about your action. So what it's going to be is, it's going to be something like this. I'm going to be calling you on July 8th at 10:45 a.m. Now, right away, you might be thinking, okay, Paul, where the hell is the potato chip? Like, what is enticing about that? Well, I didn't put the potato chip in yet. So now, here's how it's going to go when we put the whole thing together. Now, I'm going to be skipping a little bit here and there. And also, to keep in mind, whenever you talk about what you're going to write in an email, it's very different than as if you consumed it in the manner in which it was meant to be consumed, which is reading it. So it's going to sound a little awkward what I say, but it's going to be something like, you know, hi, Nancy, I noticed that. Or, hi, Nancy, one of the things I've noticed amongst printers right now is blah, 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 and blah. So now I need to do the potato chip. So the potato chip is where you hint that you might be able to help them. And here's how you do it. You ready for this? This is rocket science here. I have a few ideas that I believe might be able to help. Then you go into the reverse call to action. I'm going to be calling you on July 8th at 10:45 a.m., hoping you'll take my call. I really believe these ideas might be somewhat helpful. So do you see what I've done there? First of all, this email is very different because we've led with them instead of starting off like in the traditional way. Hi, Nancy. You know, we're a full-service sales training company, whatever the hell full-service means. And we go blah, 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 and blah. I say blah, 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 and blah because by now she's tuned me out. My email and me and my offering have taken a bullet at this point, and we are dying, hopefully, a quick and merciful death, right? Not to be morbid, but that's just kind of where that's at. So, right off the bat, between the preview text, leading with something about them by saying, I noticed that, referencing the trigger event, the compelling event. If you can't find one specifically to them, guess what? We're all living in probably the biggest trigger event in the last century, right? This pandemic and the reopening. And, you know, just have a compelling reason. Not just, well, there's my reason because of a pandemic. No, but, well, within that, what's the compelling reason? And when you really think about the pandemic and you think about reopening, I want you to really take the time to think it out. What does that mean? What does that mean? Well, it means that a lot of these companies out there lost a good part of their workforce. They had to downsize. And there's any number of different tracks that we could go on, discussion tracks. But let's just take that one. Now, because many of them lost a lot of employees, they have to do more with less. They have customers that might not be being serviced at the level that they should. Hey, haven't you guys experienced that? Because I know I have. Where, I mean, I'm not going to name the company, but a company that I do business with, and it just took a ridiculous amount of time on a technical issue, which really wasn't that complicated. It was beyond my ability. But, it really wasn't something complicated for them to troubleshoot. And it was a ridiculous amount of time. And then when I gave them some shit about it, you know, they told me, I'm really sorry. We just don't have the crew anymore that we used to, the support staff. So, you know, there's a toll there. So, you know, you really have to think about, well, what's on a decision maker's mind right now? But also there's another thing that can be compelling. You know, you always have to use and leverage what you've been given. So really, I'm also telling you, hey, leverage the pandemic without being a sleaze about it. I'm not telling you, leverage it. Go out and get a bunch of masks that would normally go for $5 and sell them for $500. I don't mean that. What I mean is that if you've been handed something where now as a result of that, and the pandemic we were all handed, now as a result of that, you have some people that are very challenged with sales, with running efficiently, servicing their clients, morale. You know, we can go on and on and on, production. Then, you know, if you have something that can help them, make the challenges go away, and maybe even, because it's not just about challenges and pain, it's also about opportunities. If you have something, then you have something compelling to talk to them about. So it's going to be a very different email, but now what you're doing is you're hinting that you might have some ideas. Now, that's not to cover your ass. That's not so that you can call up and just hit them with the sales pitch. It's because, you know, like anything else, we have a good idea we might be able to help them, but really, what's the determining factor here? It's going to be a discovery call. It's going to be a needs analysis. It's going to be qualification and having a quick meet and greet, so to speak, on, you know, via phone or whatever, Skype, just to get an idea if we can, in fact, help them, or if, you know, we have some ideas that might be relevant, hey, free of charge, here they are. So now what you're going to do when you call them on July 8th at 10:45 a.m., you're going to use the following phrase, because once again, it's going to make this whole experience different. When you call up, you're going to identify yourself, and in my case, I'm going to say, hi, Nancy, it's Paul Castain from Castain Training Systems. I am calling you like I promised I would. Check that out. Like I promised I would. And that is a very important thing because it changes the whole vibe, the whole dynamic, the whole trajectory, if you will, of what would have been a cold call. But we've warmed it up significantly through the use of trigger events, compelling reasons, with that email that we've sent, by creating anticipation for the call. Because if you contacted me and you did your homework and you had something that could actually help me in the areas that I'm concerned with right now, what would it cost me to hear you out? And you gave me a heads up, hey, going to be calling you next Thursday at 4:15, not a.m., p.m. Call me at 4:15, probably just going to bed, staggering in after a night of carousing and drinking and shit. So, but I mean, you have that heads up now. But now when you call up and you're saying, I'm calling you like I promised I would. And you know, you could even go a step further if you want to really tweak the language here. You could actually change the whole wording of the reverse call to action to include a promise. I promise to call you on such and such a day, such and such a time, because I have a few ideas that I believe that could help you with the reopening, with those new hires that, you know, I noticed that, you know, you're going to have coming in, with that new location. That type. So there you go, folks. There's nothing really glamorous about this. So how do we get people, more people, to pick up their phone without being a sleaze, without being a tool? I mean, hopefully you feel there was nothing sleazy about there. There was nothing deceptive there. Well, we're going to do our homework. We're going to do some research. And remember, research isn't limited to just cold calling. It's any time that we are engaged in outreach. And in this example, it is through an email. We are looking for specific things when we are doing our research. We're not just waiting for something to jump out as, oh my gosh, there it is. No, we are looking for trigger events. We are looking for that compelling reason for somebody to say, yeah, I'd love to talk with you right now. Then what's happening here is that we're sending this email, and because we're leading with something of interest to them. And just by the way, when it comes to trigger events, and I really should have mentioned this because this is pretty cool stuff. When it comes to trigger events, depending on the trigger event, these are the things that C-level people are talking about. These are the things that the executive committee are speaking of in the boardroom. I laughed right there because, I mean, you know, it's probably going to be, they're not going to be in the boardroom, but they're going to probably be on one of those damn Zoom calls and then screenshotting and showing everybody on LinkedIn that they know how to use Zoom. So, but you guys get the gist there. And then what you're doing here is that you're being different. You're not just doing the typical thing where, yeah, it's Paul Castain from just leading it off. Hey, Nancy, we are blah, blah, blah. And we start verbally, or in this case, in written form, throwing up on them. So that's no good. But we're creating anticipation. That's the whole part of the potato chip. See, potato chips, they don't fill your belly unless you eat a lot of them. And really what they do is they kind of make you hungry for more. You can't eat just one. So in this case, we're using that as a psychological tactic. Again, not deceptive, not sleazy. And then we're ending with that whole potato chip concept of hinting that we might be able to help them. We tell them when we're going to call. And then when we call, we use the phrase, like I promised I would. Now, one last thing that I want to say about this. Very interesting thing that we found in using these potato chip style emails. That, first of all, and I couldn't give you a number on this. I mean, I've never tracked the exact percentage. But we have a substantially higher amount of people actually answering their phones at 10:45 on July 8th or the 4th or the... Yeah, they're going to do it on the 4th of July. You know what I'm talking about here. I'm going crazy here. We've hung out too long today in the podcast. But you guys get what I'm talking about. We have a higher percentage of people actually answering their phone. Why? Because you gave them a compelling reason to. But in many of the instances where someone didn't answer their phone, we're noticing a much higher callback rate, which is pretty cool. And not only that, but when people are calling back, they're calling almost apologetically, as if they missed an actual meeting. Like, we had a meeting and it was a no-show. We really wasn't. It was, I was just simply telling you, hey, I'm going to be calling you at that time. If you could talk with me, wonderful, because I actually have some things I think that could help you with this specific thing that I know is important to you. And so we're having just a higher percentage of people that are actually calling us back. So there you have it, folks. The potato chip email, completely worthless. Seriously, worthless. I've tricked you. 34 minutes in, I'm telling you, it was completely worthless what I taught you until you choose to do something with it. I didn't just give you a piece of advice that you have to go and do all these technical things to do it. All you have to do is just a little bit of research, which you're supposed to be doing anyway, and just change up this type of email. Now, if this is something of interest to you and you'd like the template that I use for my potato chip emails, and not only that, but I have another 49 cold email templates I'd be happy to give you, you might want to download our virtual sales camp program download. Now, just to let you know, there are 75 tips, 50 email templates, which I just told you. I get to tell you again. There are phone scripts, and there are just lots and lots of extras that I've included in this. If you'd like to learn a little bit more, you'd like to get the templates, if you visit yoursalesplaybook.com/salescamp20, all one word right there, yoursalesplaybook.com/salescamp20. With that, I'm Paul Castain from yoursalesplaybook.com. I am wishing you an incredible week ahead. Go get them. The Sales Playbook Podcast is a Castain Training Systems production. Subscribe to our blog by visiting yoursalesplaybook.com/subscribe.